welcome to the Shag. This is going to be a smaller episode, sort of just like an introduction of what the podcast is and what to look forward to. In the beginning of each episode, I'm going to try and start it off with a mind nugget. I actually have my journal with me that I took on a meditation retreat back in August of last summer. It was about a week long, mostly in silence, but there was a lot of epiphanies that came to me during that week, and a lot of just really great things I heard from our wisdom talks and stuff during the night. So in the beginning of each podcast, I'm going to try and share a little bit of that with you. Today, the first thing I want to share with you would be this quote that I heard during one of the wisdom talks. It was the generosity and lovingness of a window. Now, if you think about that, back then, to build a window, that took time. You had to get the sand, you had to melt it down, you had to make the shape of the window, and you had to put it in the building. And back before technology was so advanced, that is very kind and loving. And the fact that you can look outside and see the green trees and the sun and the clouds and your environment outside is just very, very comforting and very kind. So that was our first mind nugget. I'm gonna get better at transitioning from point to point as time goes on, but I have a few topics I sort of wanted to talk about this podcast. A few of them would be sort of just like what to expect. So you're going to expect a lot of talk about the float tanks and the sensory isolation tank experience. A lot about the recent psychedelic movement. There's been sort of a lot of push for psilocybin legality. And for those of you who don't know, psilocybin is the active compound actually in magic mushrooms or shrooms. So that's sort of exciting that we're living in a time where we're starting to look towards plants again for the healing that we need and for the mental growth that our culture direly needs at this time. I'm also going to be trying to remove a lot of that negative stigma around psychedelics. For a lot of people, psychedelics are sort of scary. They can mean crazy people or just burnt out hippies, which is not the case. There definitely are a few of those characters living around here, but that is not the main cause of the psychedelic use. That's more of a culture in and of itself, but yeah. So today, I wanted to bring up a few little pieces of news, sort of in the psychedelic news world right now. So I live in Oregon, I'm sort of close to Portland. There's this psilocybin society that's pushing a ballot measure in our state to actually legalize psilocybin in a therapeutic setting. So you know you're not going to be able to walk up to a dispensary and get an eighth of shrooms and go back to your house and eat them all, you know, and trip balls with your color-changing lights and disco balls. No, no. This is going to be more of a therapeutic setting. You're going to be going to a house or an establishment with a very comfortable setting, somewhere that you feel really at ease, and they're going to sort of guide you through the psychedelic journey of psilocybin and help you understand fully what it is you're getting into and help them actually facilitate the growth that you're looking for in that session. So if you had chronic depression, you would go and talk to them about, hey, I have this chronic depression, I've been trying lots of other things and they haven't been working for me, what can I do here? And they'll sort of go over that with you and guide you through that during your trip and help you. And another interesting thing about that is a lot of the times there'll be like playlists, like musical playlists, a lot of symphonic noises, or songs, I guess. Pretty much anything without lyrics to which the user understands. So anything in another language would be okay. Pretty much they don't want to influence your trip. They just want to create a space to make you feel more comfortable. And let's see, what else do we have here? Oh, and Denver, Colorado is actually working its way through legalization right now as well. Initiative 301 would decriminalize the personal use and possession of psilocybin-containing mushrooms. However, it would not actually legalize the actual growth or distribution of the mushrooms, so it's sort of going to be a little gray area. Sort of like Amsterdam is where they have that little gray area. But yeah, I'm looking forward to really seeing where the Western culture takes us as far as legalization with all of these things that have been proven to help us in so many ways. From anywhere from curing your depression to boosting your creativity and productivity, to just being more empathetic and understanding another person's shoes and where they're at in their life. Another big thing about this podcast is going to be float tanks and isolation tanks and stuff like that. I have been working at a float facility for a little under a year now. And with that, I've met a lot of really amazing, beautiful people, and I've heard a lot of really great stories, and just seeing people's faces when they get out of their float tank is one of the most satisfying things to me, in that job. Not only the free floating I get to do, but to see how it affects other people, and to experience their post-float glow when they get out. A lot of people, like athletes, will come in and they'll use the tank for, you know, the Epsom salts and the more muscle healing properties of it. And the tank has lots and lots of different uses. One of the main ones it actually really started with, and the reason why it was invented in the first place, was for psychedelic research by this guy named John C. Lilly. I actually have one of an original copy of one of his books, but he has sort of used the tank to sort of create a map of consciousness and how it affects you through different psychedelic drugs. He did everything from intramuscular injection of LSD to DMT and lots and lots and lots of other stuff, but he's one of the first people to actually communicate with interspecies communication, so he can actually talk to dolphins, which is pretty cool. And so the tank, coming from there and now into our modern day sense, so many decades later, we've started to see a lot of use in stress reduction and just really facilitating a state of meditation almost. It brings you into that theta state of mind where, and that's actually the same state of mind that you fall into briefly right before you fall asleep. If any of you don't know exactly what the theta state is, it's sort of just that state where everything is possible. You're really creative. Your imagination is just running at like 1,000 miles an hour. So when I'm in the tank, a lot of my favorite things to do is to actually work out problems. If I have an issue I see arise in my life, I can hop in the tank and spend an hour and a half, 3 hours if I want to, just contemplating that and understanding what my situation is, and sort of exploring different angles on how to get over them, you know. I had this float experience a few weeks ago, actually. I was floating at a center I don't usually float at, because it's not my workplace. But they actually do this thing where it's a late night float, and you can float for 3.5 hours. And that's like almost double what, a little over double actually, what you could get in the float sessions at my place with how we have the pump set up and everything. But yeah, after that float, I sort of just stood in front of the mirror, and during the float, I was really, really uncomfortable actually. Usually I can fall into a place of sort of bliss, sort of just a contentness feeling, you know. And this time I was really sort of anxious to get out of the tank. I was just really unsettled. Not in like a scary kind of way, but I was just really uncomfortable, sort of just moving around a lot, sort of after the 2 hour mark. And, you know, I just sort of wrote it out, just stayed with it, done. Usually when that happens to me, I feel like there's a lesson to be learned in that, in being just comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because, you know, a lot of life is uncomfortable. And I could delve into that a lot right now, but the main point is that the float tank to me is sort of a psychedelic in and of itself, in the fact that it can show you little bits and pieces of yourself that you would have never expected to have really seen or haven't been looking for. So when I got out of that tank, they had a full body mirror, and usually when I get out of the tank, there's not one. So this was sort of a first for me, and I stood in front of that mirror just naked, right out of the tank, didn't even shower yet, to get all the salt off of my body. But I just stood in front of that mirror for like 5-10 minutes, just staring at myself, thinking like, how beautiful is it that like we're human beings alive and sort of just walking around this planet. And it really reminded me not to take advantage of having this vessel in which I get to experience. The human body can do a lot, and if you're not pushing it to its fullest potential, what are you doing? You know, like I've dealt with depression and some social anxiety a bit in my past, and some self-worth issues as well, and I'll get into that whole thing in another podcast. But yeah, it just really, oh wow, okay, I just completely lost track of where I was going with that. But pretty much, the tank is amazing. It's another way to facilitate introspectiveness in a way that you wouldn't have expected. People talk about, oh, you go in there and you have these hallucinations and you get these visions. And that can happen. It hasn't really happened to me so much in my experience with the tank. But then again, the tank will affect everyone in a different way, just because everyone's wired a little bit differently. Everyone has different complexities in their mind space, and everyone's living different realities. So, of course, the tank will affect them in a completely different way than it might affect me or you or someone who's never tried it before or someone who's had many decades experience with floating very commonly. And I think I'm gonna end this episode here. We're right around 14.5 minutes. But I really just can't wait to really delve more into the podcast and to sort of get better at my like fluidity of what I'm saying and getting from point to point without it being a little bit awkward. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. This might have been a little botched, but you know, it's okay, it's whatever. It's my first episode, so clearly down the line it'll be a lot better. I'll be finding more techniques and stuff like that.